this.
No problem.
Are you going to keep me in the dark until then?
Well, you told me once that you got some ideas from fish that helped you become a better mom. I'd like you to bring those ideas.
Will do. That's the easiest assignment I've had in a while.
See you next week. Bye.
Ciao.
Back to the Wolf Den.
Mary Jane and Janelle arrived at the market with their brown bag lunches on Wednesday. Mary Jane caught Wolf's attention and then headed across the street where she and Janelle arranged three chairs around a table, vacant only because its chairs were scattered all over the patio. Mary Jane had been through this drill before. On a sunny day, the place was always packed at lunchtime. They ordered a soft drink for Wolf and cappuccinos for themselves. Mary Jane started to sit down in an armless chair and then thought better of it, leaving it for the 200-plus-pound Wolf. Janelle saw this and commented,
"What's the deal with the musical chairs?"
"Oh, this is just a dance I created to celebrate a few unwanted pounds."
"Cute. There's a lot of that going around, and around, and around."
"Come on now, Janelle, your weight hasn't changed an ounce in all the time I've known you, except during pregnancy."
"I'm not sure that's true, but I do have a strategy. I eat often with fish."
"You eat a lot of fish?"
"No, I eat often with fish."
Mary Jane still missed the point.
"I can't wait to hear about that, but it'll have to wait. Here comes Wolf."
"How are you lovely young ladies today? Janelle, right?"
"Yes, it is, Wolf." "As I mentioned on the phone, Wolf, I think Janelle may have something to add to our discussion. Call it female intuition."
"Well, I'm in favor of anything female. Right now, the guys are dying to know what I'm doing over here with you two attractive women. Of course, they recognize you, Mary Jane, but Janelle will keep their imaginations occupied. Tell me again, what's on your mind?"
"It was the way you just smiled the other day when we were talking, and I asked you if you took the fish philosophy home. You did, didn't you?"
Wolf smiled.
"Come on, Wolf. Did I read too much into your encouraging shrug when I asked if you would help me?"
"I'm a pretty private person, and you got me talking about things I don't usually talk about. But I want to be of help, if I can. First, tell me what the big deal is."
"Fair enough. I have a son who's starting to act up at school and is often moody at home. I have a wonderful husband I hardly see because of our mutually exclusive work schedules. My mother is having some problems and may be moving in with us. And I've added many pounds of unwanted adipose tissue in the last 3 years. And that is without really trying. Quite simply, my home life stinks right now. Even though on the outside it might look like I have everything." At this point, a startled Janelle reached over and put her hand briefly on top of Mary Jane's.
"Is that about it, Mary Jane?"
said a thoughtful and smiling Wolf.
"No. Since you asked, I've been snipping at people who take too long to get my order at the store. I'm often grumpy and grouchy at home, and when I sit down to think about what has happened to me, something I never have time to do, I realize I'm not really enjoying my life. I even sank so low as to get short with my mother about something over which she had no control."
"Okay, is that about it?"
"Yes. Isn't that enough?"
"I can give you more time if you need it," said the grinning Wolf.
"Why are you still smiling? This is serious, Wolf. I don't like me."
"Settle down. I'll tell you why I'm smiling. I'm smiling because here you are, the woman who transformed an organization from what was called a toxic energy dump into a productive and enthusiastic place to work by discovering for yourself the same ingredients that make up our culture at the market. And yet, you haven't made a very basic connection to your life. You have everything you need, Mary Jane. You know all you need to know. The fish philosophy is not just a work philosophy, although you and I have applied it to work with great results. The fish philosophy is a philosophy of life. Life at work or life at home, it's all life, Mary Jane. Both can benefit from a little more fun, a selfless approach, being present for others, and a careful consideration of the attitude we are choosing. And there's another reason I was smiling. I was slow to make the connection myself. Yet, I believe these ingredients probably saved my marriage when I finally took them home. There you have it. How about you, Janelle? Can you say a bit more about that, Wolf? Your marriage, I mean? Wolf took a deep breath and just sat for a moment. This is hard for me. Okay. The divorce papers were actually being drafted, and I asked myself if I had done everything I could. I had this insight that the things I had tried to do to save my marriage always involved my wife and usually backfired. So I began to consider things I could do on my own. This may sound a bit crass, but I realized that my wife was more important to me than all of my customers at the market, and that I really didn't want a divorce. So I began treating her as if she were more important than any customer who ever came into the market. I would do little things for her. I would try to be lighthearted when she was around. When she said something, I would listen intently, and I began monitoring my attitude at home. After 2 weeks, she started to look at me differently. One day she said something had changed, but she wasn't sure what. Then I noticed she started to respond in kind. One morning I found a little heart in the bathroom with a simple note written on it, and things have been getting better ever since. Mary Jane was stunned and sat with her mouth open. Then she said, "I'm sorry, Wolf. I never even knew you were having problems until you alluded to it the other day. Thanks." Janelle said, "That makes it easier for me, Wolf. Thank you." Wolf nodded. Janelle continued, "I have 2 children with learning disabilities and found myself dreading the end of the workday. I love those kids, but the more I tried to control them, the more difficult it became. One day I figured I had nothing to lose, so I took Fish home. The whole dynamic of my relationship with the kids has changed. They'll always have their special challenges, but we have discovered a way to be together that is a lot more satisfying for them and for me. My neighbors probably think I'm crazy, but we dance with the vacuum cleaner. We sing when we're doing the dishes, and we've created 12 ways to have fun with schoolwork. I made up this Scandinavian accent I use to tell them things they used to reject, and best of all, we can go out to dinner now. Our game is to see who can make the wait person's day. When we talk, I sit down next to them rather than try and juggle the conversation with whatever else I am doing. We make a game of surprising each other with little gifts and gestures, and always tell one another when they make our day. And I found a sticker book with all kinds of different faces, happy, sad, angry, surprised, and 100 others. Do you know what I'm talking about?" Mary Jane and Wolf nodded, and Janelle went on. "I will call an attitude break, and we all sit down and put a sticker in our calendar to most closely match our attitudes. Then we talk about the choices we made and discuss any new attitudes we're going to try. At the very least, we're now conscious of our attitudes and skillful at naming them. I don't think we'll need the stickers much longer, and we'll be able to shift to words instead." Mary Jane was writing everything in her journal. She looked at her 2 table mates and said, "All right, thanks. That's great, Janelle, but I could really use some more ideas here. How about some more specifics? Tell me how to do this." Wolf and Janelle just smiled. "Really, I want some more specifics I can take home and use. It sounds like you guys must have hundreds of ideas." Wolf and Janelle just smiled. "What?" Janelle came to her friend's rescue. "Mary Jane, I will never forget the day you came back from the market, so full of energy. You wanted so badly to make some immediate changes, but instead, what did you do?" "Well, I was afraid if I came on too strong, you'd think it was a fad or program or something and back off. So I looked for a way to help you make the same discovery that I had made. I knew the energy had to be natural, and if I put on a lot of pressure, you might go along for a while, but it wouldn't last." "And what are you asking us to do now?" "I get it. So you guys are gently telling me something I should already know from my own experience.
I can't take your ideas and implement them. I have to join my family in a discovery process of our own. Don't be too hard on yourself. It's when you're stressed or under pressure that it's most difficult to see the obvious. Much of the power, as you know, is in the discovery. Okay, but I'd find it both helpful and provocative to hear your stories. Wolf and Janelle nodded, and they spent the rest of their time together sharing more of their stories. Not so Mary Jane could copy the ideas and implement them, but so she could be inspired by them to discover her own path. When they were finished, Mary Jane thanked them and said, "So now it is up to me. I mean, us." Wolf and Janelle just smiled, and Mary Jane laughed. Then Wolf hit her with another thought that was so obvious as to be easily missed.
"Don't forget, you have the world's foremost experts in your own home."
It hasn't escaped my attention. What is it they say about the cobbler's children not having any shoes? But as much as we know fish at work, I think we are in the elementary stages on a path of discovery at home.
The Hall of Fish Fame Ceremony.
Mary Jane had never seen the market this busy. It was hard to move, but the guys seemed to find a way to keep selling fish and engaging the crowd. Wolf and J.D. were showing off. When Wolf received an order for two fish, he threw them to J.D. at the same time, and J.D. caught them both. The crowd went nuts. If they only knew how long Wolf and J.D. had practiced, using two greased rubber fish. But it all paid off today, as they made memories for all of the customers. A red-faced administrator from the marketplace was frantically trying to clear an aisle. As he did this, he managed to irritate everyone he encountered. "Boy, is he out of place here," thought Mary Jane. "He should go back to his office until the fun dies down." Jack took the microphone that sat on the counter. Lonnie was standing next to him. Jack turned on the mic, and it made the customary screech that had everyone covering their ears. After a few adjustments, he was ready. "Today is a special day for Pike Place Fish. It is a sad day, as one of our best is leaving. It is a happy day because he is pursuing an educational degree that will allow him to have the career of his dreams in a healing profession. For 13 years, Lonnie has been a leader at Pike Place Fish, and we will greatly miss him. He was one of the brash young men who first said, 'Why not be world famous?' We owe him a great deal. Today, for the first time, we here at the world-famous Pike Place Fish Market will retire an apron. As we do that, we, at the same time, establish our Hall of Fame. Well, actually, it isn't a hall, just that beam over there." There were a few chuckles, and Jack took the apron from Lonnie, got up on a stool, and nailed it to the beam above the counter. There was thunderous applause, and someone shouted, "Speech! Speech!" Soon the entire crowd was chanting, "Speech!" Lonnie held up his hands for silence as he took the microphone. "Thank you, Jack. 13 years ago, you gave a wild kid a chance by offering him a job, a caring adult role model, and a place to hang out. That kid was heading in the wrong direction, already in trouble with the law. The foster mom who was trying so hard to raise him just had too many troubles of her own. You didn't hesitate to take this kid under your wing and to teach him to work, to get along, to grow up, and to value education. Jack, sometimes I think I owe you my very life." Lonnie's voice was cracking and tears were streaming down his face. He paused for a moment and then continued. "In the time I have been here, I have watched you do the same with a number of young men. I think you are a community treasure, and I love you. Thanks from me and all the other guys you have helped along their paths." Mary Jane was churning with emotion herself as she looked up at her husband and then over at Jack. Jack had a handkerchief in his hand and was pretending to wipe his nose as he wiped his eyes. Lonnie paused a second time to compose himself. Many of the fish guys were doing the same thing. Some of them were obviously the young men to which Lonnie referred. And these guys,
What can I say? They're a mess. He waited for the laughter to stop. No, really. They're great. These guys are my brothers. We supported each other in our work and in our private lives. We created a world-famous fish market that others look to as an example. I'm going to lose it if I don't stop here. Thanks, Jack. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Mary Jane. And thanks to all of you who have honored me with your business over the years. He raised his fist in the air and shouted, "Keep eating fish!" The applause continued for a long time. Jack, always the entrepreneur, took the microphone and announced a special. For the next hour, any fish purchased will be thrown to Lonnie by the salesperson. Or, if you so choose, you may throw the fish yourself. If he misses, the fish is free. Later, Lonnie will sign your world-famous Pike Place Fish Market t-shirts and hats. It was pure bedlam. Everyone in the crowd seemed to want to throw a fish. After an hour, the sales total was enormous, but there had been no free fish. After all, Lonnie was a pro when it came to catching fish. The line for t-shirts and hats to be signed later stretched all the way to First Avenue. Mary Jane decided this would be a good time to prepare for the second family council meeting that would take place Sunday night. Her trusty all-purpose journal was in her tote bag, and she headed for the coffee shop a block away.
A surprise meeting with Janelle.
As Mary Jane wove her way through the crowd and down the street, she became aware that someone was a half step behind her. She looked back to see Janelle working hard to catch up. She reached Mary Jane just as they approached the entrance of the coffee house. Mary Jane stepped back and out of the way so a tour group could take their picture in front of Starbucks, and then gave Janelle a big hug. "I didn't see you until a second ago, Janelle." "Like you could see anyone in that crowd. It was a touching ceremony, don't you think?" "Very emotional. I think Lonnie is ready for a change, though. And I'll enjoy holding hands with a man who doesn't have the cuts and slices that go with catching flying fish. Is this a coincidence that we arrive here at the same time? I thought you might enjoy some company. You know, someone to bounce things off of. As we talked yesterday, I thought about how grateful I am for all you have done for me. You saw something in me I didn't even see in myself, and my life has been better ever since. So I want to be there for you. I'll bet you have your journal in that bag, and you're planning to do some writing over coffee. If you would rather be alone, just tell me." "You're a sweetheart, and you know me too well. Let's get some coffee and find a place to sit down. The journal can wait." Since Starbucks had no place to sit, they took their skinny lattes, "Light on the foam, please, extra shot, extra hot," across the street to see if they could find a bench in the park. The park was surprisingly empty, and they found a bench in the sun and overlooking the waterfront. "Want to talk about the things you wouldn't say in front of Lonnie's best friend?" "You picked up on that, did you?" "Yes, I think it would be helpful to say some of what is on my mind out loud. With all that's going on, it's like Lonnie and I share a home, but not a life. We got married because we loved being with each other, and now we hardly see each other. Janelle, I just want a little more joy in my life. Am I being selfish? Don't you think every young married couple goes through this adjustment period? One or two careers, kids, church, outside interests, aging parents, exercise, education, and all the rest of life add up to quite a full plate." "Thanks, Janelle, but I don't consider us a young married couple. We have a young marriage, that's true, but we're not kids. And I wish you hadn't mentioned exercise. Exercise dropped off my schedule months ago. There just wasn't time for everything. And when it dropped by the wayside, a number of other things dropped as well." Janelle chuckled at that. "Yes, you mentioned that the other day." "Come on, Janelle, you could be a fashion model. You must eat nothing but carrots." "Like I said, I'd be happy to tell you what it takes to keep things from expanding and dropping any time you wish. I think you'll find my approach familiar. But right now, what I want to be sure I understand is what's making you so unhappy. Yes, you are busy, but you have some great things happening in your life.
Let me explain with a story. When I lost Ken so suddenly, and found myself alone with two young children at the same time that I was experiencing an unstable work situation at First Guarantee, I became vividly aware of how things can turn on a dime. I made a commitment to live my life to the fullest. I like to think of that as a gift of perspective left me by my first husband. But my life has accelerated, and I'm losing that perspective. In fact, I'm no longer sure what it means to be living my life to the fullest. Does living life fully mean doing a lot of stuff or really being present for the most important things? Sometimes it seems like I'm just passing through much of my life at home, and I feel like Lonnie and I have let things take the course of least resistance without ever asking what we really want. I'm not sure what to do. Everything we have on our plate seems important. Have you and Lonnie talked about this? Well, I had a bit of a breakdown the night of his party, and I felt bad later. We made a pact to talk more, but haven't had time yet. There just never seems to be a free moment to just talk anymore. When life is overwhelming, it is often helpful for me to choose one thing and give it my attention. Is there something that needs attention now? Mom, how am I going to respect her independence and still face the fact that she's no longer able to drive and may not always remember to take her medications? What do you intend to do now? I'd really like her to move in with us. That would be my wish, and I need to let her know in a compelling way that she's wanted while still respecting her right to control her life. We're going to have a second family council about Grandma, and I could use an idea or two. I think this would be a great subject to approach using the fish philosophy. Mary Jane looked at her friend and smiled. Aren't you the best friend in the world? The idea was too close to see. That's what we will do. We will use the fish philosophy to guide our discussion. The kids will be able to be full participants that way. That sounds like a neat idea, Mary Jane. I'm going to let you get back to your journal now. I have a few things left to do today. You were sweet to find me, Janelle, and you have been so helpful. Say hello to Jimmy. Bye.
Entries in the journal.
Mary Jane walked across the street for more coffee, and when she returned to the park, her bench was occupied. So she ended up sitting on a ledge that surrounded the fountain. She opened her journal and created a new heading and underlined it. Then she added some bullet points underneath. Sitting back, she thought about what she had put down. Fish for life. Grandma. Marriage. Raising children. Friends. Weight loss. Closing her eyes for a minute, she found herself looking at the kaleidoscope of colors and shapes created by the sun shining intensely on her eyelids. What now? She thought. She opened her eyes and turned to the part of her journal where she accumulated wisdom and inspirational quotes. And there was the first line of a Mary Oliver poem titled The Journey. It was a line that carried a lifetime worth of wisdom. One day you finally knew what you had to do and began. Those lines say it all. One day you finally knew what you had to do and began. And began. Well, I know now what I need to do. It's time to begin.
Second Family Council.
The family had assembled in the upstairs office, and all four desk chairs were occupied. Mary Jane looked at the children and said, "Let's talk about fish. I think the fish philosophy might be useful in thinking of ways to welcome Grandma and make her comfortable here." "Cool! That's the stuff you and Lonnie use at work, right?" "It is, Brad. Lonnie schooled me on fish, and I took it to work. I remember well your first visit to the market. Do you?" "Yeah. I helped Lonnie with his work. We had fun." "I remember, too," added Sarah. "A fish bit me." "It did not. Did, too. Did not." "All right, kids. Sarah, I don't think it bit you. I think you were startled when its mouth moved." "That's what I meant, Mom." "Are we going to throw fish to Grandma?" Why don't Lonnie and I go through the four parts of fish, and we can all discuss how to welcome Grandma?
Play.
How can we make this fun? Play is the first ingredient of the fish philosophy. It means lighthearted, playful, and fun. It's a way to make the ordinary and routine more interesting and engaging by having fun with whatever you're doing. Mom?
What, Sarah?
What's a philosophy?
Play. Carry a light heart with you wherever you go. In the beginning of a fish journey, play may be as simple as adding some fun to the daily routine. After a while, you learn that the playful energy engendered by special events can be chosen as an attitude at any time. Ask yourself, how might I be an instrument of lightheartedness? Do I have a smile in my heart that is heard in my voice? Do I explore all the ways I could bring fun to a task that is not usually fun? Am I choosing playfulness?
That is a big word, isn't it? It's pronounced philosophy. Philosophy? Yes. And the fish philosophy is a way of approaching life. So let's pretend you're doing something you'd rather not be doing. Like doing the dishes or cleaning my room? Right. Remember the time the dishwasher was broken and we were doing the dishes together and making up puzzles and trying to stump each other? Yes, that was fun. Did we get all the dishes washed? They were really clean because we didn't want to stop washing. We took a chore you don't enjoy naturally and made it fun by the way we did it. That's the fish philosophy in action. And the first part of the philosophy is play. So the question is, how can we make welcoming Grandma to our house fun and playful? Grandma will be giving up her independence and may have some doubts and fears. How are we going to make welcoming Grandma fun? Do you mean when I play with my dolls, it's a philosophy? I play all the time, Mom. Don't all kids play? Yes. It means play is an important part of your life. Sometimes adults forget to play. Kids know how to play. How can we play? Grandma can play with my dolls anytime, offered Sarah. Do you think Grandma would want to play catch? I'm not sure, Brad, but she sure would love to be invited. I know she likes to play cards, too. We play kings in the corner all the time. Great. What are some other things we could do to make her move here fun? We could play hide-and-seek, suggested Sarah. Oh, sure, added her big brother. Why not pin the tail on the donkey? Lonnie said, let's play with Sarah's idea for a minute. I have a hide-and-seek idea. We all seem to think that Grandma just needs to know we really want her in our home, that if we convince her our wish that she join us is real, she'll agree to move in with us. But we don't know that for sure, and need to be sensitive to her need to control her own life. How could we make the idea of moving here a fun surprise and still respect Grandma's right to be in control of her life? She loves the zoo, said Sarah. I know because she takes me there all the time. We could tell her we're taking her to the zoo and bring her here. And we could have some of her things ready for her to move in, arranged just the way she likes them, added Mary Jane. We just need to let her know we're more than willing to move her things back to her apartment if need be. It could be a demonstration of our commitment to the idea of having her move in. And we could have balloons and her favorite meal, suggested Brad. Lonnie was looking at the ceiling and thinking, one of us is going to have to drive her wherever she goes now. How often does she go to the hairdresser? Mary Jane thought for a minute. Not that often. And it's irregular. She doesn't like spending money on herself. Lonnie said, well?
Make their day.
Mary Jane looked baffled, but Brad had picked up on the idea and spoke. We can give her a hair thing. Lonnie smiled.
I don't know what it's called either, Brad. A hair thing will have to do for now. The second part of the fish philosophy is make their day, which means making life brighter for people by doing special things or doing things in special ways. How could we make a hair thing really special?
Mary Jane looked at Lonnie and Brad, who were both grinning. It's called a permanent, and we could take her to a spa where she could have a permanent and also get pampered.
That we could, darling. And while she was there, we could move some of her things into the guest room.
Then we think of some reason to stop by here, rather than taking her back to the apartment. We'll surprise her with a big welcome, and the furnishings will demonstrate we really want her to stay.
Not too many of her things, though. I think there might be a fine line between feeling wanted and feeling trapped.
Good point.
Perhaps just something symbolic. Perhaps her favorite ottoman.
Yes, said Mary Jane, with new animation in her voice.
Just one piece of furniture should make the point without overdoing it. So we surprise her with a gift of a spa treatment, and then we surprise her again by bringing her here. What do you kids think of that idea?
Sarah smiled.
I think it'll really make her way.
Make her day, stupid.
That's what I said.
Mary Jane held up her hand.
Wait a minute here. When we adopt a philosophy of life, it's for all of our life. We're talking about Grandma, but we are a family working together and supporting one another.
Brad, what you said to Sarah did not make her day. Calling someone stupid does not make their day.
Lonnie was nodding and looking seriously at Brad. Brad looked at his feet.
I know. You should never say stupid.
That's a good start, Brad, added Lonnie. But the fish philosophy is more than rules. When you live a philosophy, you try to live it with everyone around you. If you live it with Sarah, you're more likely to live it with Grandma. Fish is something you can and should practice on everyone.
Sorry, Sarah. I really don't think you're stupid. You're pretty smart for a girl.
Brad?
What? Think about what you just said.
Oh, man, this fish stuff is hard, Mom.
Sorry, Sarah. I think you are smart, really. I tell my friends that I have a smart sister. They tease me about it, but I am proud.
Okay, Brad, let's not overdo it. I think you understand that it has to be genuine also.
No, it's true, Mom. I brag about Sarah all the time, just never when she's around.
What you just said, Brad, is a great example of making someone's day. And if you want to know what it looks like, look at your sister.
Sarah was beaming from ear to ear.
It's hard to stay focused, Brad, but it gets easier the more you do it. You just have to remember that you're trying to make the world a better place to live in by the way you treat people. And you are trying to make this home a better place to live by the way you treat Sarah.
And you're trying to make your school a better place by the way you treat your classmates and your teacher, added Lonnie.
Okay, Lonnie. Okay, Mom. I'll try.
Make their day. Sometimes you can make someone's day simply by the way you engage them. The Fish Guys have an intention to engage their customers in ways that create memories, good feelings, and stories they can take with them and share after they leave. It is possible to make someone's day simply by the way you engage them, one human being to another. Whose day will I make today? How might I live my life today so as to be an inspiration to others? Have I treated myself to the good feelings generated by serving another? Am I open to having someone make my day? Be there.
Mary Jane glanced down at the open journal in her lap and said, "The third part of the fish philosophy is be there. This means really listening to someone and doing one thing at a time. It means not getting distracted while you're with someone. Just being there for him or her is the first step in any conversation. This'll be important to Grandma. And if we can do it, she'll know she is loved. Let me tell you kids a story about what you both did when you were babies.
Be there. Amazing things happen when you learn how to be where you actually are. Bringing consciousness, body, and spirit into the same space is a gift to yourself and to the world. The guys at the market have mastered one of the most powerful ways to connect to other human beings, to be fully present by keeping away all distractions quite consciously. Am I listening to family and friends with the single purpose of hearing what they have to say? Do I give the gift of rapt attention freely? Do we have a protocol for dealing with interruptions like the phone during a family meal? Have I reminded myself today of how good it feels to be listened to?
I would be holding you and talking to you, and someone I knew would interrupt, like in the grocery store, and I'd turn my attention to them. You know what you would do? You would grab my cheeks and try to get me to look at you. You wanted me to continue to be there for you. From a very young age, you're aware that someone has stopped being there. It doesn't feel good when you know someone isn't there. How can we be there for Grandma?
She can read me stories, and I can listen, said Sarah.
Brad said, She likes it when I sit down with her rather than talking standing up.
What do you mean, Brad?
Well, when we visited Grandma and she was sitting in that chair she loves, I would go in and stand by her and say hello. She would reach out and hold my hand, and it was like she was holding on to me. One day I sat down and talked to her, and it was different. So now I sit down, even if it's going to be a short visit. I think she likes that.
Lonnie leaned back and smiled. You kids are great. I think you'd make great fishmongers.
Brad was glowing, and Sarah giggled. At the market, the worst thing you can do to a customer is be distracted while you're talking to them. It ruins their market experience.
And while we do all of these things we're going to do, what attitude should we choose?
Choose your attitude.
What is an attitude, Mom? An attitude is the way you are being on the outside. We have words we use to describe how someone is being on the outside. Usually we're the same on the outside and on the inside. Sometimes we are not. We call what's on the inside feelings and what's on the outside attitude. We should probably discuss the difference between feelings and attitudes sometime soon, but for now we'll just focus on the outside, the attitudes.
When we talk about an attitude or what we see on the outside of someone, we have words we use. We say they're happy, grouchy, positive, negative, caring, angry, bitter, patient, silly, or playful. When someone always talks about what is wrong with something, we say they have a negative attitude. When someone is like Lonnie, always seeing the good side of things and the possibilities, we say they have a positive attitude. Looking for the best in a situation is called a positive attitude. Let's talk about the attitudes we might want to choose for Grandma. What would be some good attitudes?
Happy, suggested Sarah.
Patient, added Mary Jane.
Friendly, said Brad.
Supportive, said Mary Jane.
Choose your attitude. The attitude you have right now is the one you are choosing. Choose as if the quality of your life depends on it, for it actually does, moment to moment. The fish guys come to work each day discussing the attitudes they are choosing. They are aware that they have the power to choose, and that power enables everything else they do. What are the attitudes I am choosing right now? Do any of my current attitudes need to be replaced, or will I stay with what I have? What attitudes do I want in my life more often? What attitudes do I want to avoid? Am I aware that feelings can't be controlled and may show up at any time without warning, but that attitudes can be chosen? And am I aware that sometimes the choice of an attitude can influence how I will feel in the future?
Everyone looked at Lonnie, waiting for his attitude.
Grateful. I am grateful that I'm able to do something for someone who's been so important to my family. I want Grandma to see that in my attitude.
She moved here to be closer to you kids and your mother when your father died. That was a loving and generous thing to do. I want Grandma to know I am grateful to be able to welcome her into our home. And if she decides she wants to live somewhere else, I'm grateful and willing to help her accomplish that.
The family council continued to discuss attitudes for some time. The list became quite long, and Sarah wanted each attitude spelled so she could write it down in large block letters. Mary Jane looked at Sarah and thought, "Here we are talking about the fish philosophy as a family, and everyone is contributing. Why did it take me so long to see this possibility? Sarah's even making a list of the attitude words." By the end of the meeting, the family council had not only developed a list of attitudes, but they'd also come up with a plan for surprising Grandma and showing her by their actions how much they want her in their house. An appointment would be made for Grandma at a local spa. While she was at the spa, they would move one piece of her furniture into the guest room. Then Lonnie would pick her up, and the first stop would be her new room, which would be full of balloons and family. The second stop would be dinner, where they would discuss what else she would want to bring with her if she decided to stay. They'd finish the day picking up essentials, and hopefully all would sleep on Queen Anne Hill that night.
"I think our attitude has become sleepy. Am I right?" asked Lonnie.
Everyone smiled, and the bedtime routine began. Mary Jane reflected on the last half hour and the change in Brad. "My little boy isn't so little anymore. He seems to be carrying something heavy tonight. I need to find some time for him. No, I need to be there for him now. Lonnie, I'm going to check in with Brad before I come to bed. You noticed too? He got quieter as the evening and discussion progressed. Something heavy on his mind." Mary Jane went into Brad's room. "Good night, Brad."
"Good night, Mom. That was fun. You got kind of quiet toward the end. Is something bothering you?"
"I was just thinking about school. You always tell me how important it is to do your best at school, but sometimes I just don't like school, Mom.
Do you want to talk about it?"
"Mom, have you ever done something because you just want to get along?"
"Yes, I have. I know the feeling well, Brad. There's a kid at school who acts strange and the other kids tease him. It bothers me, but I don't do anything. And I ignore the kid even though he really hasn't done anything wrong. It's just the way he is. Talking about attitude got me thinking, that's all."
"Brad, you are thinking in a very mature and grown-up way. I am proud of you for that.
What do you think I should do, Mom?"
"I wish I could tell you what to do, but I can't. You have to decide what is right. But I can tell you there have been times in my life when doing what was right was scary because I didn't know how others might react. Maybe you can think about what we talked about tonight and see if that gives you any ideas.
Thanks, Mom. Good night, Brad. I love you."
Mary Jane headed for the bathroom to get ready for bed.
"Penny, for your thoughts."
"Oh, Lonnie, you startled me. I'm thinking about how hard the life of a preteen can be. And I was thinking about the plan crafted for surprising Mom. If we had involved Mom in the discussion, she would have thought and worried about nothing else until the day she moved in, if that was the decision. Now, Mom will be able to avoid most of the anxiety of trying to think everything through ahead of time. I really think this is a good way to approach Mom."
"Do you think she'll agree to move in?"
"I hope so, Lonnie."
"Would this be a good time to have part of that conversation we agreed to have?" asked Lonnie as he sat on the edge of the old Victorian bathtub.
"Yes, I'm still wound up and awake. Talking to Brad took me back to my preteen years. Those years can be painful. Just give me a minute to take my makeup off."
There was a knock on the bathroom door, and when Lonnie opened it, there stood Brad.
"Sarah is crying. I think she had a bad dream."
And so the conversation was delayed. Again.
The real conversations required to sustain a relationship are easily recognized. They are the ones that keep getting put off for another day. What will Grandma decide?
3 weeks had passed since the second family council, and today was the day to surprise Grandma. Mary Jane looked at her alarm clock and jumped out of bed. Pulling her bathrobe around her, she walked down the hall to rouse the kids.
"Time to get up, Brad! Time to get—"
Mary Jane opened Sarah's door,
only to find her on the edge of her bed, fully dressed.
Sarah, how long have you been up?
Hi, Mom. I couldn't sleep. I was thinking about Grandma.
I have a happy attitude about this, Mom.
Mary Jane sat on the bed next to Sarah and put her arm around her, with her cheek touching Sarah's.
Oh, Sarah, you are so sweet and full of attitudes. And they just sat enjoying the moment.
Then Mary Jane broke the silence.
I'm glad you're up. I could use some help in the kitchen. Let's let Dad sleep and give Brad a second call.
Why don't you call Brad and then come down and help me?
I'm getting up, I'm getting up. Cool your jets and go away.
Mom asked me to do this, Brad, and today's the day Grandma moves in.
Today? Is it Saturday?
I'll get up right now, really.
When Sarah made it to the kitchen, the table was set and four boxes of cereal were already in place.
Is your brother up?
He says he's getting up. I think he thought it was a school day.
Good morning, my beautiful ladies.
I guess I made too much noise, hon.
I was already awake.
What time do I pick up Mom and take her to the spa?
You should leave at 8, so I guess we can loll over breakfast for 25 minutes.
Luxury, huh?
Mary Jane had arranged a half-day package that included massage, hair, and nails. There was even a light lunch. This would give them 4 full hours to get a piece of Grandma's furniture moved from her apartment to what would hopefully be her new room on Queen Anne Hill. 2 men in a truck, a reliable moving company, was on call if they were needed later in the day. Mary Jane handed Lonnie the schedule she had printed on a note card.
Did you work for NASA before I met you? This is great.
Brad came down with wet hair just as Lonnie was going out to the car.
Hi, big guy. See you at Grandma's house after I drop her off at the spa.
By 12:30, they had moved the headboard from Grandma's bed into the guest room, placing it in such a way that the bed location could be envisioned. Grandma's room was looking good as Lonnie headed for the door.
I love the balloons. Let's hope this works.
I should be back here with Grandma in about 50 minutes. Cross your fingers. Lonnie arrived at the reception desk of Silver Spa right on time.
I'm here to meet Mrs. Ida Gomez.
I believe she's in the courtyard finishing lunch.
I'll tell her you're here.
Lonnie was just settling in with the only available reading material, an O, the Oprah magazine, when Grandma stepped into the waiting area. Lonnie noticed her hair.
Don't you look great?
This was so nice of you and Mary Jane. What a treat. We even had lunch.
Fantastic. I'd love to go by the house and show you something, and then I can take you home, if that's all right.
Oh, sure. Will I get a chance to see Mary Jane and the kids?
You bet.
Well, then, let's be on our way.
And she took Lonnie's arm as they headed for the car. Lonnie opened the front door and let Grandma go ahead into a room full of balloons.
A party?
Surprise!
Mary Jane, Brad, and Sarah jumped out from their individual hiding places, holding bouquets of roses with white lace.
Surprise! Surprise!
Grandma looked a bit puzzled, as she was definitely alert enough to know it wasn't her birthday.
What? What is all this about?
Mary Jane and Sarah each took a hand and walked her around the corner to the first-floor guest bedroom. As they entered the room, the flowers were immediately placed in 3 vases, and Grandma stared open-mouthed at the headboard to her bed.
That's my headboard!
Sarah spoke up.
Grandma, we hoped you would like the way it looks in this room so much that you would want to bring the rest of your things. We'd like you to live with us, Grandma.
Oh, my. You really do want me to move in with you. I always thought...
And Grandma lost her composure for a minute. Sarah had been right. All she needed was to know that she was really wanted, and her apartment seemed to vanish in that moment and was never mentioned again. She was now in her new home. The adjustment took about 30 seconds. In fact, she didn't even want to make the return trip to that old apartment. So, after coffee and a pastry, everyone but Sarah and Grandma met the crew from 2 Men in a Truck.
Sarah tells Grandma about fish.
Do you want to see what I'm doing upstairs? I have a philosophy.
You have a what, dear?
A philosophy. A fish philosophy.
Oh, a philosophy. Is 7 old enough to have a philosophy? Oh, Grandma, our whole family has a philosophy. Let me show you.
They walked hand in hand up to the office. You can share my desk until you get one of your own, Grandma. We didn't think of that.
I'll be fine sharing your desk, Sarah. Now, tell me about this fish philosophy.
Well, Mom and Dad use it at work. It means you have fun, and that part is easy for kids. You do nice things for people. You pay close attention when someone is talking, and you choose your attitude. I think the attitude part is the hardest. Look at what I'm doing to help me remember to choose my attitude.
Ida looked down at a desk covered with words written one at a time on round slips of paper. On one side of the desk were happy, positive, loving, helpful, caring, friendly, and a host of positive words. And on the other side of the desk was a smaller group that included moody, impatient, angry, and picky.
I wrote these words down when we talked about attitude.
I'm making attitude badges. You take one of these attitudes and put a safety pin through it, and you can wear it. Do you want me to make you one, Grandma?
Why, of course, dear.
Which attitude do you want to wear?
Do you have proud?
I'm not sure. Do you see it?
Why are you crying, Grandma? Do you want a sad one, too?
I am not sad, Sarah. These are happy tears. I am so proud of you that I want to wear one that says that.
Will you help me fasten the safety pin?
Proud will be my first complete badge.
Sure.
Hand me the material. Now, what are we going to make for you?
Not bugging.
Oh, yes. Mom tells me that sometimes I bug Brad. I get mad when he teases me, and I guess I bug him as a way of getting back at him. So I want a not bugging attitude button.
I think you'll have to print another new one. I don't see it here.
Does bugging have 1 or 2 G's?
The two of them continued working until they heard the door open downstairs.
Hello, Mary Jane called out.
We're up here, Mom, responded Sarah.
We're up here, dear, Grandma Ida called out.
Everyone assembled upstairs, and Sarah took them through an explanation of the project. Brad seemed a bit skeptical about the not bugging button, but remained pleasant. Brad chose helpful for himself after a great deal of thought. Lonnie chose thoughtful, and Mary Jane decided on a pair of buttons, here and